would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn to the 109th Psalm. If you have your Bible open to Psalm 109, we'll begin reading in verse 1. This is a most unusual psalm. It is a psalm expressing more vengeance than any other chapter in all the Bible. That could make it difficult to understand. But I believe that the Lord will give us the insight we need. Psalm 109 and verse 1. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark, if you would please, in this fourth verse, the expression David gives, I give myself unto prayer. And I'm asking myself this question as I ask the same question to you. Do you know how to pray? Not have you heard about prayer and you make some feeble attempt forming words to perhaps impress someone else in prayer, but do you know how to pray? Have you learned how to pray and get a hold of God? Do you know that we come to God by faith in prayer? Do you know that God has made a way so that we might enter in and speak with a holy God, a thrice holy God? You understand that Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us, or we could not make our petitions known unto God. If you're a parent, have you taught your children not about prayer, but how to pray? If you are a teenager, or you have teenagers in your home, have you taught your teenagers, and do teenagers know how to pray, how to speak with God? If you're a mother or father, do you know how to pray? David says here, I give myself unto prayer. There's some overviews of this particular psalm that we need before we launch into it. And one of them is about prayer. If you'll notice, please, David talks about prayer here in verse 4, and then he tells us what he's praying for when we finally get to the 20th verse. We shall arrive there, God willing. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake. And between his announcement that he's going to give himself unto prayer and this prayer that we find beginning with verse 20 to the end of the psalm, we have the matter that he's praying about. And it's a matter of vengeance, getting even. Have we learned that vengeance belongs to the Lord? I want you to hold your place here just a moment and turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 35, I'd like you to mark this verse in your Bible. Moses is giving these concluding statements to God's people. And in verse 35 of Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Bible says, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Vengeance is the Lord. Now please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, as the Lord gives us this word in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 30 and 31. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31, Hebrews chapter 10. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible says one of the things that characterizes our age is that people have lost the fear of God. Are you acquainted in your own life with the matter of sowing and reaping, and that it's never right for you to try to execute the judgment or discipline that God alone is to execute? The Bible says in the New Testament book of Galatians, I'll read it for you. In Galatians, the Word of God tells us in the 6th chapter, in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's a law of sowing and reaping. Are we acquainted with that? Often when people do something to us or to someone we love, we get the idea that it's our responsibility to do something in return to them. But the child of God leaves that in God's hands. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. So there's several things in the overview of this psalm that we need to understand if we're going to be helped and blessed by this psalm. I'm going to give you a little background. David's dealing with the worst kind of enemy, those that he has shown love to. Look again in the 109th psalm, if you would please, what he says, their response to him. And he says in verse 5, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Think of that. He says in verse 3, they've done what they've done to me without a cause. In verse 4, for my love they are my adversaries. Nothing hurts any more deeply than to be attacked by someone you've loved and do love. I want you to turn with me back to the background of this psalm before we get into the heart of it. If you'll have your Bible open to the book of 2 Samuel. In the book of 2 Samuel, there are characters in the life of David you may or may not be familiar with. David had a son by the name of Absalom who rebelled against him. He not only rebelled against his father David, David's son did everything he could to shame his father publicly. And Absalom had an advisor, and interestingly enough, his advisor was David's closest friend and advisor, Ahithophel. The Bible tells us about him. He had another enemy by the name of Shimei, who was a Benjamite. I don't know all the things that entered into this man Shimei's heart. I don't know. Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. David was of the tribe of Judah. David sinned, of course, as you know, with Bathsheba. Just interestingly enough, Bathsheba was the granddaughter of Ahithophel. Ahithophel had been David's closest counselor and advisor. And he turned against David and became the counselor to the rebel son Absalom. He was the one giving Absalom instructions about what to do and how to shame his father as much as he possibly could. If you have your Bible open to 2 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible tells us one incident about Shimei and his response to David. The Bible says in verse 5 of 2 Samuel chapter 16, when King David came to Beurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. That is David's right hand and left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, "Come out, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial," or of the devil. "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And David said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said to Abishai and to all the servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. And how much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. David had sinned against God in his sin with Bathsheba. He was disgraced by that. And David also had rebellion on the part of his son. His son had led a rebellion against David's kingdom and wanted to set himself up against David as the king over Israel. As I said, David's counselor, Ahithophel, left David's side as his most constant and loving companion and became the companion and advisor for Absalom, David's son. Ahithophel, no doubt, was disturbed about David's sin with his granddaughter Bathsheba. And Ahithophel and people like him, and Shimei and people like him, rebelled against David and actually wanted David destroyed. The Bible tells us on down in the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 21, "And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hand of all that are with thee be strong." So they spread Absalom's a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was if a man had inquired at the oracle of God, so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. In other words, the people felt like you couldn't find a finer man than Ahithophel. If he was your counselor and he told you to do these things, he was speaking as the oracle of God. And the Bible says in chapter 17, verse 1, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will take him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. They want him dead. Can you imagine? King David wanted him dead. Shimei followed after him while David had his mighty men throwing stones and kicking up dust and cursing David. And one of David's men said, I could cut off his head just that quickly. David said, no. Why? Because David's heart was smitten. He knew he'd sinned greatly against God. And he knew God was dealing with him. He knew he'd been such close companions with Ahithophel, and now Ahithophel is advising his rebel son, Absalom. Now, if you read the story through, you're going to find that Shimei was put to death by David's son at the order of David's son, Solomon. And Ahithophel, when he saw that Absalom didn't follow all his advice and counsel, hanged himself. But when we go back to the 109th Psalm, I want you just to listen as I read what David's facing, what they're saying. This is the way we understand this psalm. I knew I needed to speak on this 109th Psalm because I couldn't just skip over it because it was difficult. And so I searched every author I could find for their interpretation of this, and the ones I lean on heavily all said the same thing, that what we have recorded for us here is the vengeance that people like Shimei and Ahithophel wanted to exercise on David. So we come to verse 5 again, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. David's only been good to them. I want you to write down a verse somewhere in the margin of your Bible near that verse. It's found in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 13. And I want you to listen carefully. Proverbs 17, 13, the Bible says, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Let me read it again. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. In other words, if someone has done good to you and you do evil toward that person, evil will not depart from your house. There are people that we know and love that we've shared things with, we've tried to help and encourage, have even helped their children in every way imaginable to love them, to strengthen them. And they returned for our love evil behavior. I want you to be careful and take note of this. God Almighty says, if you return evil for love, evil shall never depart from your house. Be careful, beloved, when you're angry about something or at someone and you desire to hurt them, to say things about them, to do anything you can to destroy what good thoughts people may have of them. Because God says, if those people have been good to you, and God has used them to be good to you, if you return evil on them, evil shall never depart from your house. Do you ever stop and think about what your actions may be doing to your children? This is the Word of God. It's not my business to ward evil on them, but God says they've sown it, and now they're going to reap it. When we begin to read about the desires of people like Shimei and Ahithophel, and most everyone believes this chapter is about Ahithophel and his response to David after David's loving kindness to him. It's also called the Psalm of Judas Iscariot, betrayer. And Ahithophel, so close. No one can hurt a person any more than someone who's been so close and intimate with them. And that's what we find here. So they stayed in verse 6. See thou a wicked man, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. This is what they want for David. I remember when I was a young fellow starting out in the ministry, my pastor was named Dillard Hagen. And Brother Hagen was a good man, a kind man, a Bible man. But some people got it out for him in the church. And of course, he may have been used to that kind of thing, but I wasn't. And when I heard what they were doing, it greatly disturbed me. And I came to the pastor and I said, "Do you know that they're having prayer meetings about you in their home?" And I named the woman, Mrs. Brown. I said, "She's gathering people at her home to pray that God would kill you and do harm to you and your family." I said, "Brother Hagen, this disturbs me. I can't believe Christians would act like that." And Brother Hagen said to me, "Do you think God hears their prayers?" I said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, stop worrying about it." It was just that simple. It was settled. "Do you think God hears their prayers? Is going to answer their prayers?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, just stop worrying about it. Be careful whose side you get on, and always make sure you're standing on God's side." And they were praying and saying, "Set a wicked man over him and let Satan stand at his right hand." Can you imagine getting so angry at someone, like some people say they are about the president? I don't want to make this a political message because it isn't. But they'd be glad if he were dead. They'd be glad if he caught the coronavirus and died from it. And they're making fools of themselves with this anger. Everything is connected to it. But there are people in life who develop that kind of attitude toward other people. So they said, "Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand." Let the devil be his right-hand man. Verse 7, "When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin." Quite a statement, isn't it? "Let his days be few, and let another take his office." Quite fitting for some people. "Let his children be fatherless," meaning take his life, "and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the strangers spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children." In other words, these enemies of David said, "We hate him. We want him dead. We want every bad thing imaginable to happen to him." Can you imagine someone letting that happen to their heart? "Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generations following, let their name be blotted out." Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was to be of the tribe of Judah. What a terrible thing for them to say. "Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out." In other words, don't forgive them. "Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth." And this is their reasoning. Mark the word "because." This is why we're so angry. This is why we're mad. This is the way we see it. This is the way we see it. "Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart." Remember when David was dealt with because of his sin, And the prophet came to him about one little ewe lamb that he took when he had all kinds of herds and flocks of lambs. David had his heart smitten. He was already convicted and pouring out his heart to the Lord and confessing his sin and trying to be as right with God. He even said in Psalm 51, "Lord, beat the sin out of me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Beat the sin out of me. I can't stand to live like this." But there were these people who would say, "That's not enough." Do any of you ever get so mean and rotten that you want something bad to happen to somebody you're mad at? Then I want you to know you're behaving like anything but a Christian. Because he showed no mercy. But persecuted the poor and needy, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. In other words, he had power and he used his power the wrong way. Yes, he did. And he's guilty. But is there no way back to God? Yes, there is. Some of you are beating yourselves up terribly. And you're living in a false guilt now because you've already been to Jesus for his cleansing power and you ask him to forgive you and cleanse you. What more can you do? Now you must just live the life that God has designed for you to live and rejoice in his goodness. And others should not try to destroy you because they know nothing of God's forgiveness. Let it be unto him as the garment which covered him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Now, here we come to David's prayer. So what does David do? How does he respond? He knows they want him dead. As a matter of fact, his son will wind up dead. Shimei will wind up dead. Ahithophel will hang himself and commit suicide. Sin has a terrible price, doesn't it? And some sin is so disruptive, so destroying. And I'd like to imagine I could just sit with David a minute and say, "So David, how will you respond? You've got these people who hate you and want to get rid of you and want you dead. How will you respond? How will you ever have any peace again?" And we have David's prayer. This is what he wants. "Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul." In other words, let them reap what they've sown. And what they've said, they want on my head. "But do thou for me." You want to mark that line? "But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, for your glory, to bring glory to you, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." I could never plummet the depth of that wound. I don't know how deeply he hurt. But I want to be the person who doesn't try to make it worse. Did God deal with David? With the death of a child? With the rape of his daughter? With the death of his son? One son killing another son. Did God deal with David's sin? Yes or no? And he will, because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But what about David? How will David ever recover from something he wished to God 1,000 times he did not do? Do any of you have anything in your life that you wish to God over and over you did not do? You say, I have something on my record I wish to God was not on my record. Well, listen, if you've asked God to forgive you and cleanse you, someone may hold it on your record for themselves, but God has wiped it white as snow. White as snow. That's what God gives us, a new start, a fresh start, a new beginning. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And David said, for thy glory and for thy sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I can almost feel the pain in David's life when he says, my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust blowing in the wind. My knees are weak through fasting. My flesh faileth of fatness. In other words, this has caused such agony of my soul. I look like a man who's stripped of his strength, too weak to stand. Sin has taken its toll. I became as a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. In other words, David said, I know what it was like to be the king, to be the respected one, the leader, the champion in battle, the killer of Goliath. But now when I walk, they just shake their heads and say, oh God, what a failure. I want you to think about sin before you go into it. I want you to think about this before you break a wedding vow. I want you to think about this before you break your parents' hearts who've given their lives for you. I want you to think about this before you turn from God and break your pastor's heart. I want you to think that there's a higher price for sinful behavior than you ever imagined. If you want to know how horrible it is, this thing, sin, look to the cross and see what it costs God to pay for it. As he gave his only begotten son to pay our sin debt and purchase our redemption. What helpful things we're finding here. He became a reproach. They shook their heads. Then he says in verse 26, help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. In other words, Lord, you bring me out in such a way and give me such victory that people will know how awful it was, but how great a victory I have, and it's all from God. You want your life to demonstrate how good God has been to you? How wonderful his forgiving and cleansing is? That's what David's praying. We found the victory. That this is thy hand. When people are finished saying what they say about the work of the Temple Baptist Church and the Crown College and anything else we've done, the greatest thing we want them to say is, you know, the Lord did something special. And they could say it this way: he used the most unlikely people in the most unlikely place. I remember coming to Powell, Tennessee, when it was more of a farming community, and you men remember praying with me. And I said, let's pray and ask God to make this place a worldwide blessing. And he has. And only God could do it. The Bible says, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. What a verse, verse 27. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. Clothing is the clothing of confusion. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. Notice, please, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor. They prayed, verse 5 or 6, let the devil stand with him. And he prays, oh God, you stand with me. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. You can't deliver yourself from your enemies. Look, please, you can't stop people from saying things they should not say. Are you listening? You cannot stop people from saying things they should not say. But you can live victoriously in Jesus Christ in such a way that they see his victory in your life. You can do that. Learn to pray. Learn that vengeance is the Lord's. Learn that we do sow and reap. Learn these powerful things. But like David said, I give myself unto prayer. You have access to God at any moment, and you have the victory in the Lord. What a wonderful psalm. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful Bible God has given us. Let's pray together, may we?